The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. And folks, tonight this program, we're bringing you God's mighty men of old. Or you might say old mighty men, but they're here. And we're going to be talking about what this radio ministry's done over five decades now, half a century. And so before there was Alex Jones, there was What's Right, What's Left. Before Tex Mars, What's Right, What's Left. Before Rush Limbaugh, there was What's Right, What's Left. Before Steve Bannon, before Bob Dornan, G. Gordon Liddy, Jay Sekulow, before all of those and many more, we were there. We were the pioneers way out in the front. we were going at it. We were scuffling with the corrupt government out there and the corrupt media half a century ago. And tonight we're going to start off by reading from God's Word, the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 33, dealing with watchmen on the wall, because that's what we've been. We've been the watchmen on the wall, these mighty men here with me. Verse 7, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me.
When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand.
Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live?
Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in death of the wicked, but that the wicked man turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?
Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in that day that he shall turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth.
Amen. So we've been a watchman on the wall over the years, and all of you men have been a major part in contributing to all of that. And so today we're going to be talking about some of those things. I have that DVD, 50 years of this radio program, And you know what? I can't even remember all of what it says on the cover. But, folks, that DVD we have out there, we ask a donation of $25 for that. And it goes into a lot of the things. The first one is actually 6 hours. You see, in 50 years, you can accomplish quite a bit, can't you, fellas?
Oh, boy. You can say that again.
Well, we're going to start with you, Richard, way back in the day. When in the early days when here, you were the clerk of the common law court, okay?
And yes, I was.
You also were my associate pastor, Doers of the Word, Unregistered New Testament, Activist Baptist Church. And
yeah, we were fighting a lot of different things. The idea of the common law court was we were all studying law, and a lot of times our ministries paralleled each other and trying to understand how to really get this country back on a godly footing. And some of you think that things are real bad with this before this last election, but things were real bad back then, too. We were looking at what, I don't know, even some of the politicians that were doing. But we had a common law court set up, place we were meeting was out in Euclid. And we had one of the people from one of the TV shows, Carl Monday. He snuck in a camera and was taking pictures of our court and everything. And later on, when they charged me with paper terrorism and took me to court on the TV set, they had me in the common law court holding up a Bible, and saying, "This is our law book." And so I guess that was a big crime back then.
It was, Richard. I remember what happened. Carl Monday was standing next to me, and he had somebody from the ADL with him. And so what happened was, if you remember, when they were filming you, now he didn't realize who I was, because I was standing just a little bit to the left and about a step behind him, but I was listening to everything he was saying. And so what happened was they filmed you, and then they went and they showed you speaking, and then they showed Nazis. They showed Adolf Hitler, and then they showed Nazis in concentration camps. And then they went on to show you speaking again, and then the Ku Klux Klan and black people being hung. Now, they had a problem because about a third of the people there, the patriots there, were black men. And so they had to keep shutting the camera off. And I'm standing right there recording everything they're doing, and Carl don't have a clue, does he?
he didn't realize that we had a backup in around. But, they just wanted to paint the patriot movement, basically, the people that were trying to do something to get this country back and to really eliminate abortion. That was our main thing. If we could have got the county sheriffs in each of the counties of Ohio, the 88 counties, to obey the law, we could have shut down all the abortion clinics. Even with the situation with the federal laws, we still could have the counties shut down abortion clinics if we were able to do something with some clout.
Well, that was a situation where we kept having our run-ins with the corrupt justice system. You know, the payoffs, I mean, the police were taking bribes and everything. And I kept going after them, and I'd expose them live on the air. In one case, two police officers took bribes. Those idiots walked out in front of me with an envelope stuffed with money, didn't they? And right in front of me, okay? And I went on the air and gave their names, their badge numbers, the whole shooting match, which didn't end well for those guys. But then you had the corrupt courts, too. And we exposed the judges in those corrupt courts out there. And they went after you. They went after me. By God's grace, I got tipped off. I got tipped off, and I had taken a dozen that they were going to come and raid my house in the middle of the night. And so here, not knowing that one of the lawyers sitting in on their little group of lawyers was my lawyer. They didn't realize he was my lawyer. And he called me right after the meeting and told me they're coming to your place. And and I didn't give him time to do that. I took a dozen men, marched right into Judge Marcus's courtroom, and I confronted him right there, and along with Prosecutor Casares, Dan Casares.
Yeah.
And so I confronted him, and I told him, I said, I understand that you're bringing some charges against me, and remember what the charge was. They said, that's correct. And I said, what is that? He said, you are part of the redemption movement. And I said, is that redemption movement, is that John 3:16? He said, I don't know what that is. I said, that's the only redemption movement I'm part of, because what you're talking about, I got no idea. And then they talked about how we had Jack Smith, that we sold Jack Smith tapes. We didn't sell anything, okay? We gave them to people, okay, for donations. I don't know if they couldn't afford them. We gave it to them free. And Jack Smith, we had on the radio program, and that's what they said. You had him on your radio program. I said, that's right. And I've had presidential candidates, Supreme Court justices, and judges, senators, congressmen, even prosecutors. So now am I guilty with association? I caught him off guard, and that's what kept me from going to prison. But it didn't keep you. You went to prison for 10 years for simply petitioning the court for the law. Tell the folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, matter of fact, when I was in court, they barred you from coming into the court. And you were trying to get into the courtroom where I was being tried, and they blocked your way and locked the doors.
Yeah, well, what they did is, just as I was trying to open the door, somebody called me and said, Pastors, and I turned, a hand come out from the door, hit me right in the chest and shoved me, then they blocked the door. You had nobody in there in that courtroom with you. You were in there without any counsel or any lawyer or anything.
Right. They had a straw lawyer sitting there doing nothing. But we were trying to do an experiment in the law to try to affect that, trying to use the UCC at the time. And, we got into it, and it didn't work, obviously. And they ended up giving me 10 years in prison over just returning paper to the court. They called it paper terrorism, and because I sent their documents back of everything that they gave me. So,
well, here's the interesting thing, though. I kind of hate to say this in one way, but Richard, I think the good Lord actually had his hand on that, because that prison was without a chaplain. And you became, even though you were an inmate, you became the chaplain there. And
when I first got there, they had a chaplain, and it's interesting how the doors were open for the work of the Lord in there. And you got to remember, I went in there, I had a good background in the Bible, and I had pastored a church down in Waco, down below Canton, Ohio, for 3 years. And so I had a good experience. And so going in there, I had a great opportunity to touch those men for the Lord. And the chaplain that was there when I got there was, he checked me out. And actually, I think he called you, Pastor Sanders, and asked if I was for real, you know, because there's a lot of people that tote the Bible in there but aren't for real.
Yeah, absolutely. And I came down too, because they wanted me to come down and help doing some counseling. They had some real problems with the gangs in there.
Yes, they sure did. And So that chaplain was there for about 5 years, and I was able to have a chapel newsletter that I produced for 3 years in there. I had Bible studies. They allowed me to have Bible studies, and you know, inmates aren't supposed to have more than two or three people gather together, and we had sometimes 10 and 12 people in the Bible study. So a lot of God gave me a lot of blessings in there to be able to reach men for Christ. And it actually was a tremendous ministry. I lost a lot by going in there. I had my own business at the time, and that was totally destroyed because I got locked up for 10 years. My wife was destitute during that time and basically homeless. She was taken care of finally by a few people, but it was that kind of stress. But as far as the ministry in there goes, it was absolutely a wonderful ministry, and I had a lot of wonderful Bible studies in there with individuals and together, and be able to just reach these men that really were seeking the Lord. So it was a blessing. I think we had about 1,200 men in the prison, and every week, I think it was, they took out 25 men, or that, you know, they got released for some reason, and another 25 came in. So God was giving me new blood all the time as far as new men to reach. For 10 years that went on. So I was able to preach the word and touch a lot of hearts for the Lord.
And I know after your time was up, they wanted you to stay there and be the chaplain.
When that chaplain left, they were in between chaplains, and then they tried a couple chaplains, and they didn't work out. And basically, they depended on me running the chapel, and that went on for quite some time in there. And when I was getting ready to leave, the deputy warden came over and talked to me and said, "Well, don't be a stranger." I thought, what are you talking about? Don't be a stranger. I'm getting released out of prison. But I didn't say anything to her. But
I felt sorry for her. She was she came to me. She was a nice lady.
Yes,
of course, that's not what the inmates thought of her. But she said, she asked me, because you had the Heartless Felons. Remember that?
Yeah.
And those were the young and the largest gang, and they were, they went after older folks. They went after a number of my men that I, there, because, you know, they were older guys, and they, you know, they were just wicked, trying to be as just evil as they could be, and they called her a whore to her face. She asked me, what do I do? Which can I do with these people? And see what happens. Remember, they wanted us to come in and minister, and I said, "Yeah," but their prison regulations tied my hands. I couldn't. I had to do it to them as a group, and you could not get. You know, I could not get them individual. If you could get them individual and talk to them, you could get the message. But none of them are going to accept the Lord, or it's when the group is there, because they're, you know, they're afraid.
The peer pressure. But, yeah, and that's the advantage I had in there. I was able to counsel a lot of men individually, and I watch for opportunities. So being an inmate in there gave you a different position, I guess. It wasn't like some preacher coming in and preaching and then leaving. I was there 24/7 with them, and I was going through the same problems and difficulties as all the inmates were going through. And so it was a different dynamic, and that was a blessing that God allowed that. And then sometimes these guys would be in for, I mean, there were some guys in there for killing somebody for 5 years, you know, and they started complaining to me, Oh, I got 5 years. And I says, I got 10 years for sending paperwork back to the court. Quit your complaining.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Let's get on to what's important. What's your relationship with Jesus Christ? You know?
Hey, man, you put the fear into them. That's why they came up with a new law called paper terrorism. In other words, if one judge says, this paperwork terrifies me, does it terrify you? If they agreed, then basically it was like contempt of court in their opinion, right?
I guess worse than that, because they give me prison time. I don't know if you get prison time for contempt of court, but
yeah.
Piled it on for me. They really wanted to try to make an example. But like you said, the Lord turned that around, and that was so wonderful is God's hand was in all of that. And when I got home, all was good with my wife, and we were able to get a house and everything, and have another 10, 12 years together before she passed on. So it was a blessing to be in there and be able to reach so many people.
And because of this radio ministry, we are able to get your story out. We got the truth out, okay,
yes.
And expose the darkness in the corrupt judicial system here.
That's for sure. That's for sure. You've talked about a lot of that corruption as far as the different court things, and then of course when this was happening with me, you were on the air talking about it.
Yeah, we just kept. That's what you have to do. You have to. You got to keep making a lot of noise because people will notice your silence when they come after you, and that's what they tried to come after me. And so you never know who's trying to get you out there.
And that's right.
So anyhow, but we never backed away. We always ran right at the fire. And I want to praise the good Lord. I want to thank you because you were a good associate pastor with me, and today you still are very active in this ministry. So God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate your program, and I think the ministry that you've had over through the years, and how our two ministries have come together in appropriate times and paralleled each other is interesting, because that's the cause of Christ. You know, when you're working in Christ with Christ, you're bound to be working in the same direction and for the same causes. So it's just a blessing.
Amen. And our main cause was stopping the killing of the unborn, the children out there. And because of that, because of all the big money, the money that the abortion industry was to use to pay bribes from judges all the way down to the cops we were up against it all the time. And they were always bringing false charges against me. It seems like every week they brought another false charge against me.
Yeah, they would have loved to got you in prison too, I'm sure. But it's possible. I have no idea, but it's possible after they saw what I did in prison, maybe they thought maybe it's better not to put some people in prison.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, it may not be such a good idea. You may get everybody converted, and then what is going to happen?
Yeah, well, you did a wonderful job there, and the guys all told me how much they appreciated you there.
Well, that was through the grace of God, not my power, but his power. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Well, thanks for being here and sharing all of that. I know you have a Bible study you have to teach today.
Yeah, I'm sorry to rush off, but I do, and I've been my ministry has got me into a number of nursing homes and that, and we're doing actually 5 Bible studies a week right now. So it's another ministry. It's great. So all right, thank you for. the time and love all your listeners and just pray they keep listening to you.
All right. Now, be careful in that nursing home. At our age, they try to keep us there, Richard.
Yeah, they won't be able to tell the good guys from the bad guys.
Yeah, all righty. Very good. God bless, my friend. Hey, have a blessed Thanksgiving if I don't see you before then.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
You called him Pastor Richard, but you didn't tell people he was Pastor Richard Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to add that so they know that was Pastor Richard Lewis working with you.
Yeah, he's been working with me for many, many years, going back 50 years ago.
All right. Well, you were the only pro-life radio in Ohio.
We were the first, and for many years, back in the 70s, the only pro-life voice in Ohio. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, because of that, we were up against the opposition all the time, the culture of death. And I was, back in those days, I was being sued more than anybody I know for saving babies. And they tried to RICO me like three times. RICO charges. John, can you believe that, for saving babies?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. I mean, the hell will do anything to try and keep that killing of the babies going.
And so the idea was to keep me off the streets and in the courts. And in that time, folks, things got nasty. I can tell you, I got shot at twice, just missed me once, only 6 inches. And they tried to run me over on numerous occasions. One guy tried to stab me in the eye. Once I actually got poisoned. And so every time I turned around, there was another exciting day. I can say that we didn't have one boring day out there, but we kept going right at them, okay? And Judge Rockersog says, one day I'll get you. I'll get you one day, you know. Well, I don't know if she's the ACLU, if she's even still around, but they haven't gotten me yet.
Well, you were a revolutionary. What did George Orwell back in 1984? During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Well, you were back telling the truth about abortion, the money machine, and you also were the ones that started the homeschool movement in Ohio.
Yeah, we did. And more of the credit goes to a lady, Martha Lippitt, who was a school teacher of one of the original, you know, one-room little schoolhouses there, just like you see in the old movies. And Martha had the Bible on her desk and the Ten Commandments on the wall. And in that little schoolroom, here came the ACLU, okay? And she called me, and I said, let's fight. Let's go after them. We did. We went after them. We fought. And the word got out about homeschooling. And at that time, there wasn't much curriculum. But it started growing. And in our area, we did program after program. I looked at across the country, people that were involved. And we started a movement here in Ohio, and it really grew. And I praise the good Lord for it. Now today, homeschooling is very, very large in Ohio.
One thing we didn't do, the people that are listening in, I'm Pastor Joe Larson, and the other gentleman that you're hearing from is Big John, Pastor John McTernan.
Right.
We're here with Pastor Ernie. Somehow we started off like we normally do, thinking of all the things in the past, but we've really forgot to introduce ourselves. So all of us are part of this ministry for many years, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been going on 51 years, I think, after the first of the year.
Yeah.
And so,
Pastor Ernie, the things that you were sharing for the listeners, it's incomprehensible to them unless you're in, like, the pro-life movement. The things that we see, the corruption, the courts, even the prisons, the police, the amount of bribes they take when it comes to like pro-life, it's like alien to most of the people, Pastor Ernie. But your show is a window that what you shared about is absolute truth. Is like a war, or it's kind of lessened a little now. Well, maybe not with Garland and But back in the day, it was like a sort of a war, Pastor Ernie.
It was. I mean, protesters at abortion clinics were beaten with sticks and had dogs turned on them and taken to court. I mean, it was a war, John. That's the correct term.
Yeah I was doing my prison and jail ministry.
You window into that, Pastor Ernie, where people, the average person, didn't have any knowledge of this actual war that was going on to save the babies.
No, they didn't, because, again, just because of the fake news media back in those days. But there were two things. One, we didn't back then. We didn't have any real crisis pregnancy centers in the beginning, okay? That came later. But we were, in the beginning there, too, we were able to, you know, actually I had one day where we had six cars come in from Indiana and New York, came in here. And for some reason, they wanted to come out of state. They didn't want people in their own state knowing that they were going to kill their babies. And they pulled into this parking lot, and I pulled my car across it from the driveway. And I was able to get out, and I preached, you know, the heaven sweet and hell hot about what God's word, the Bible says about killing babies. And there was six couples. And I'm going to tell you, the looks on their faces, and one half of those people, okay, one half of them actually said the sinner's prayer with me that day. Sometimes they want to kill you. You know, we had some real experiences. I remember the commercial, the Marlboro Man?
Right.
We had, you fellas had to be seen this. This guy, he was a tall, probably about 6'4", and he had cowboy boots, cowboy hat, and right out of his shirt pocket was a pack of Marlboros. And he went in, and I was preaching to him, and he hurried his woman into the abortion mill. And as I was preaching to him, trying to get by me, then he comes out, and he stops, and he lights up a Marlboro, and he says to me, one of these days, he said, you'll be lying on your back with somebody's boots in your face. Then I got real close to him, real close, an inch away, and I said, yeah, but that's not today, is it, boy? And he just looked at me. I said, well, is it? And he turned around and took off. So the Marlboro Man was a phony.
That one.
Yeah.
When you talk about warfare, I'm thinking back. There were several wars going on. Phyllis Schlafly, the great dame of conservative women, was fighting the ERA. That was a battle going on. John was out there fighting the corrupt courts there, the nursing home scandals, what was going on with patients. It has been all these years different battles. Battles against what they were doing to our children in public education. When Madeline Murray O'Hare came and tried to take God and the Bible out of the school classrooms, it's been nothing but 50 years of really going to Christian soldiers going off to battle.
That's exactly what it's been. You're absolutely right. And, you know, you speak of Madeline Murray O'Hare. I debated Rob Sherman. He was the one when she disappeared, and from what I understand, she ended up being found in a 55-gallon drug in a landfill. I'm not sure, but that's what the story I got. But anyhow, he took over, Rob Sherman, and I had a debate with him. It didn't last very long on the Remember the Old Gary D program. And Rob Sherman, That was an interesting debate, because when we started out, I said, let's open in prayer. And he started laughing, saying, there is no God. And I told him, I said, look, Rob, I can prove God to you in 5 minutes. You can't prove evolution in 5 years. And he said, how do you do that? And I said, look right here out the window. I said, you see that? That's called the sky. I've been up there. That's the first heaven. I've been there. It's for real. And I said, look down towards your feet. That's called the earth down there, okay? I've been on that. Just like it says in the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You saw all the little critters out there Robin, now you can see me. We're the last thing God created. And so, Rob, here I am, just like God's word, the Bible says, evidence, proof. Now, let me ask you, which one of your relatives was the first human? Which one was the last monkey, puppy, or snail? And he said, that's it, I'm out of here. And I told him, I said, wait a minute. I said, some of my relatives might have hung by their necks, but none ever swung by their tails. What about you? And he was gone. That was it. That was the end of the whole debate.
That was it. Well, I remember there was some great times while you were working with Phyllis there, the ERA amendment. She got together later with setting up Eagle Forum University, and her son and I, Andy, we started putting the college courses together for Eagle Forum University. I think Andy had the first one. I had the second one, and fighting what was going on. It just as I think back over all the stuff, the interconnection of all the things happening, Pastor Lewis was talking about how the different ministries go. We're all out there doing different things. John, you can tell about what the battle with when you found out the corruption in the nursing homes. They were what was happening to the patients, and it's still an ongoing battle. There's still a lot of problems in nursing homes today, right?
Let me tell you a little bit first about Phyllis Schlafly. When she called me, she said, look, she said, I need your help to stop the ERA. They say we don't have a chance. That's what they're saying. We don't have a chance to stop it. What do you say? I said, let's fight. And we did. We stopped it. We stopped the ERA. And you know, John McTurnan and I, we were in that battle in the nursing homes. But John Holman was the fella. Tell him, John.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, God bless Brother John. He's gone to be with the Lord. But I actually kind of tailed along with him. He was a chaplain in one of the nursing homes in Pennsylvania, and he saw the abuse of the elderly, their rights, and how their rights meant nothing. So he told me about it, and I said, all right, John, I'll join with you. And Pastor Ernie, what an education we got on the corruption in Pennsylvania with the elderly, and you were the only show that would promote that, Pastor Ernie. We would give updates. I know you remember that. It was like, and I was telling you how corrupt, I said, Pennsylvania's got to be the most corrupt state in the nation. It was incredible how we went up to the highest parts of government in Pennsylvania. None of them would stand protect the elderly.
Well,
you called like district attorneys, county commissioners, politicians to come on your show. None of them would come on, Pastor.
Not only did they not want to come on, they panicked when I just mentioned and say, look, here, we'd like to find out the whole story here. We know there's always two sides to a story. And here's what we're hearing. And I remember the one was a police chief, and he had a nervous breakdown when I asked him, and he was saying, I don't know anything about it. I'm not involved with those. That wasn't my idea, okay? And he went into a real panic there. But the prosecutors were ducking and weaving, weren't they?
Oh, my goodness. Pastor Ernie, I'm a criminal. I'm a retired federal agent. And just to put it in context, my signature case was against organized crime in New York, and I put, in fact, my case got headlines in the New York papers. I know how to present a criminal investigation, and I did that to the district attorney of Perry County. Pastor Ernie, he conducted his own investigation. The district attorney took my report, didn't give it to any law enforcement agency. He conducted his own investigation. And in it, he said the people he interviewed denied doing anything wrong. He accepted that and closed the case. And I had written proof. I had interviews. I had everything you could think of showing it that that's how they killed it. But again, Pastor Ernie, tell the listeners what happened the time you spoke to that county executive about me. And you wanted him to come on your show to refute what I said.
No, he absolutely was in a panic. No, I'm not going to do it. You put the fear in them. They didn't realize who they were messing with, especially there in York, PA, when you got into it, Planned Parenthood, they thought they were going to run over you, those corrupt cops, like they did the others. They didn't know who they were messing with. Yeah, he went into a real panic. And then the other one said, you know, I would really like to help you, but you don't know. My son's got a ball game, and this is very important to him. I have to be there. I wish I could help you, but he always had an excuse. But you're right. You put the real fear into them, guys. They knew, you know, that they were messing with someone who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, but the system, if the system was legitimate at any level, we could have ripped that open and sent people to jail. But it was corrupt all the ways up and down the line, Pastor Ernie.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, today we have all of those Obama-appointed and Biden-appointed judges. I mean, look what they tried to do to President Trump and what they're still trying to do to President Trump. Look what, right there in Pennsylvania, where here with this election between these two senators, where the election board of elections in four counties says, we don't care what the law says. We don't care if these ballots are illegal. We don't care what the Supreme Court here has ruled. Well, the courts did come back. In fact, yesterday, they came down yesterday and said, look, we're going to enforce that. You're not going to be able to use these illegitimate ballots. But, I mean, it's total lawlessness, isn't it?
Yeah, and they did this publicly, Pastor Ernie, on like public national news, saying we're going to disregard what the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania said, and we're going to take these illegal ballots because they were all in favor of the former Senator Casey, there, the Democrat, and we're going to add them into this. And they were doing it blatantly on national news and going against the Supreme Court. That's how corrupt they are, Pastor Ernie.
I know. And this is why, you know, we really have to run to this battle. I know a lot of people think, well, since Trump won the election, they can take a sigh, you know, and sit back. No. While Trump is busy putting together his cabinet, believe me, folks, please believe me, the deep state right now, the shadow government is busy. They're putting together a shadow government, okay, a counterpart for everyone that President Trump appoints. This is why they're so afraid of Matt Gaetz, because they know Gaetz will actually do something. He'll actually go after him. He'll actually do the job that he was given to do as Attorney General. And now I'm hearing Cash Patel, now I hear, is going to be the next head of the FBI. And so that...
What a change that'll make.
Boy, that will make a change. We had something that broke just today, didn't we? What was it today, Joe?
It just broke. Ukraine had fired the first U.S. Missiles the first time in the 1,000th day of the war. Russia's claiming they shot down 5 of the 6 missiles, but Ukraine said that, you know, they caused some secondary explosions. But this is big news because Biden gave approval for Ukraine to use these longest-range missiles, the ATACMs, and something that never should have happened, because now Americans had to be there to fire the missiles. They're American missiles, so Putin is out saying that's an act of war. Russia, America has now entered the war.
Well, they did. True. When you put them in a war zone,
and fire missiles, yeah, that's
yeah,
a war.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's a little more than that. They can't operate them without our technological background. They have to have the satellites pinpoint the exact area for the missile to strike, which Ukraine doesn't have. They have to use our satellites. And then missiles have to be programmed. They're very high-tech, and Ukraine doesn't have the ability to do that. So
there's a people. It was our people.
Yeah. So it's actually America firing the missiles at Russia. So.
This is not good. Now, here's the good news, and that's that Trump and Putin have been in communications, and their people are in communications. And I think Trump's trying to convince Putin, just hang in there until I'm in. We're going to have peace. We're going to end this war. You know, you had, what, over 200,000 Russian troops have been killed already. 200,000. I don't know how many of the Ukrainians have been killed. But it's a...
Well, killed and wounded, Pastor Ernie, it's approaching 600,000 Russian.
Wow.
Well, there's some other bad news with it. Right now, the headlines read, terrible decision. U.S. warned of coming energy brownouts after Russia moves to block uranium exports. Remember who was that sold a big chunk of our uranium supplies to the Russians?
Yeah,
well,
Hillary
now
Clinton.
They're going to block the exports of the uranium back to us, which could cause a lot of our nuclear plants to not be able to produce power. Go ahead, John, tell them who.
Hillary Clinton.
Amen. Yep.
Went to the Secretary of State.
25% of all of our uranium. And guess who was involved in that deal? Barack Hussein Obama.
Obama.
Yeah.
Well, he said he was.
And what happened was a whole lot of money came flooding into that Clinton initiative. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was centered in the Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, the Ukraine, was just one huge laundry. It was the global laundry market where they were laundering money.
Right. Yep. You're right.
Through the world, yeah. Still ahead.
Now, Pastor Ernie, we could be heading into a nuclear war with Russia, correct?
And we could, yeah, correct.
But by what we just did, tell me and our listeners, why we are heading into war, direct conflict with Russia. I mean, what has Russia done to us?
We're in there because the idea is to have a global one-world government with a global leader. And that fellow's, his name is going to be the Antichrist.
Right.
And they want to break Russia. They want Russia broken is what... They want Russia broken and divided into five different countries, and then to just steal all the natural resources out of Russia. I mean, that's their plan. I didn't make that up. That's in writing.
Yeah.
And Pastor Ernie, it was in the 90s, and I believe it was Henry Kissinger, but it may not have been him, was one of the leaders there in the New World Order, wrote a paper about using the way to break Russia would be to use the Ukraine against Russia, give the Ukraine our high-tech weapons, and use the Ukrainian army and weapons to grind down Russia so that when Russia was completely weak, we could come in and take over. Now, that was in the 90s, Pastor Ernie, and that's what's in play right now, right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I know.
Stuff that we warned about, I think what you're saying, Big John, is a lot of the stuff that we've been warning people about for 50 years, a lot of it's coming to fruition, and unfortunately, I hate to say it, but we were right, the ministry was right so many times, and it's kind of sad because as you watch things that we warned would happen or now are taking place right in front of our eyes.
Back during the Vietnam War, we kept warning to about the military-industrial complex.
Complex, yeah.
Yeah, how, to keep the war going, and making money. They really didn't want it to end. Remember the Paris peace talks where you had they went for I don't know how long to decide the shape of the table. They wanted just to keep the battle going. And
keep the money flowing, you mean?
And our Secretary McNamara, he was just using our soldiers as fodder, wasn't he?
Cannon fodder, yep.
Yep.
Well, I want to give you something. Trump in his fight when he came up, but I know where he got the idea. What's your motto? Keep fighting
the fight.
Fight,
yep.
The good fight of faith. And I'm going to quote you. It's up to you now what you must do. Fight, fight with all your might, with all the strength and courage that you can muster. Why must you fight? Because you are on the verge of losing all of your rights and freedoms, your property, and quite possibly your life. And you went on several times. That was kind of what we've been, the watchman on the wall. And that we've been fighting these fights from we talked about the battles with the ERA. You were there with the partial birth abortion, fighting that, brought out the heartbeat bill, warning about the swine flu. Remember the vaccine that the farmers didn't want to give their hogs. What did they do with that flu, when the vaccine, when the farmers rejected it?
Well, they managed to pay off some enough politicians to where they could use that flu amongst the people, the swine flu. Again, folks, you know, big pharma and the corruption.
Yeah, just, big corruption.
Yeah.
And well, see, what is, do you remember what Scripture said? If a leader is lies, then all his servants are wicked. If, here it is, Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. We see this with this wicked government when you have a corrupt leaders all through, like the FDA, the, you know, the healthcare system, all these things. What? Why is it wicked? Because the people in charge for years have been wicked, and we've been calling them out, right?
Absolutely. That's the whole, you know, from Genesis to Revelation. A resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
Amen.
Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And that's the one thing that God demanded more than anything else is obedience, huh?
Obedience to him.
And
well, so, another plug then for the fact that we're an unregistered church. You're an unregistered church, so it's an unregistered ministry. And we were telling people prior to 1954, churches and ministries never had any problem speaking about political issues or political leaders. Why? Because donations to churches had always been tax exempt, always were, and the unregistered churches now the only ones that don't have the government's approval, the government 501c3 corporation seal of approval, where pastors are now, for those churches, they're agents of the state. Not working for the Lord, they're an agent for the state first. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and government. And that's why you have always pastored an unregistered church, right?
Right. And this is why we've always tried to let people know and put the word out there. And I know judgment begins in the house of the Lord, okay? And in that house, it begins in the pulpit. And this is why all three of us, for all of these years, have been going after the prissy preachers and telling folks, look, the Bible says that that the righteous are as bold as lions. They're as bold as lions. And if you're in a church and that pastor's not bold, if he's not leading, see, the shepherd is supposed to lead the sheep, right?
Right.
And if you're there, you know, we weren't there for with a building project. We never had a huge building. You know, we actually believe Matthew 25. We really do believe it. Feed the hungry, house the homeless, visit those, you know, clothe the naked. That's where we spent all of our money over the year, doing what the Word of God said, because we actually believe the Word of God. We're coming up to a break here in a minute. So when we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more to do, so folks, hang in there.
It's a break.
We'll be back, a very short break. We'll be back right after this with more.